start the worship service this evening. Let's all stand as we sing, Come and Dine, if it's convenient for you. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his people, come and dine. With his manna he does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, this sweet juice up with Jesus all the time. Come and thank you.
Brother Richard asked me this morning if we were going to do the deal in the gym where we had the candlelight Thanksgiving service where everyone gave a testimony about what they were thankful for, and I hadn't forgotten about it. We just didn't plan it. But I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight to tell what you're thankful for. So while Tim is telling what he's thankful for, that'll give the rest of you an opportunity to think about what you're thankful for.
Well, I'm just thankful for life and every day that I have on planet Earth above ground. It's a gift from God. I'm thankful for my family and the church, and the wonderful fellowship that we have here.
I'm thankful for
Well, I'm giving you an opportunity.
I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for Craig. I'm thankful that our girls are married to wonderful, godly men, and they all serve in their churches, and that blesses us tremendously. I'm thankful for Greg's family, who is my family now. That thankful that I have them, because I have so few of my family.
So. I'm also thankful for my family, and my wife, and all my kids and grandkids. I want to especially thank Bro Lane for pushing me beyond my limits, what I thought was my limits, and serving here in the church. So great that we're almost past part of this COVID, or the worst part of it probably, and we're able to get back together and socialize and be with one another. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful to be able to be here.
Amen.
too am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this one that sits beside me.
Amen.
Probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. And then when we come to realize maybe something yesterday has sitting as we gathered together, and so we want to take some pictures. And Priscilla and I walked out to where we were taking pictures, and she made a remark to us, wow, who would have thought our lives would experience what's before us, the children's eventually, and we just made the comment, God's good, and we've been blessed, and sometimes we don't give credit when credit's due. But I, too, am so thankful for our family, as well as our church family. And you know, this is such an awesome group that's gathered in this church, brothers and sisters, that we get great encouragement from them. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you and your family. As other families, that it's just a truly a blessing and an opportunity that I don't want to take today.
I'm thankful for God's blessings. Seems like almost every night I go to say my prayer. And I think there's no way of even beginning to count the way God's blessed us. And I'm just so thankful for our family. Family just means the world to me. And it means the world to me to be a part of Osage Baptist Church. And I'm just so thankful of all the programs, and especially the way we try to reach and work with the kids. It's I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I know if it wasn't for a church and the way they cared for me and tried to help me, that I would never have known, I don't think, that the love there and their concern for little ones. And it just blesses my heart the way we reach out and to the kids and try to reach them while they're young.
I'm thankful for this church. God led us here. It's God's plan. My job keeps me from being here a lot. But when I'm here, this church family just uplifts my heart. Thankful for you, brother. Standing unashamed on the truth. Every time you're behind the pulpit, the truth is coming.
Thank you. Amen.
I'd like to say ditto to most what everyone has said as far as thankful for family and all. I'm thankful for those that do serve Him so faithfully. It's such an encouragement to me. This church is God sent to us. I'm thankful that we're going to see the chosen. Really, just getting together and doing something like that. Because this always been a favorite verse of mine is Isaiah 43. I have redeemed you, I have called you by name. And when that was the first episode, it just captured me. So I'm happy that we're going together as a church. Not that that's the gospel, but I'm just saying, it's wonderful.
Okay.
I am so thankful this year that God, He is the author of life, and we can trust Him with that. We have had such a up and down year in our family, and having a grandbaby, God gave that life. It was a little bit scary coming in, God gave us that life. Lost a parent this year, and had 24 family members in our household. My brother-in-law was in the ICU on Monday. Wasn't Roger's dad battling cancer. But he's here, and he's at my house. And every day is a struggle with my mom. So don't take life lightly. But God is the author of it, and I'm so thankful that we can
touch him. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm thankful I'm all here instead of not all there. So, yeah, I got to make it funny because now she's got me all teary-eyed now. But, as I walked in, I walked by that plaque out there hundreds of times of our members that we've lost. And, I looked at it and see my mom's name up there. And there's so many others that have touched me here. This room and just so many people that's touched my life since we've been here. And seeing all four of my grandparents on there. And people that they never went to church. And then they start coming here. And I'm just thankful that everybody loved on them and they found Christ. And I get to see them again.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this church and what they plan for what they've done. I tell you what God's been doing.
I'm thankful for my friend Mason and that God died for us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thankful for my family, my buddy Evan, and you, brother Lenny.
I'm thankful for Alana and Richard and the rest of Alana. And I'm thankful to the people in this church helping to help me.
I'm thankful for my family and my parents.
Thankful for this church, my growing family, God's blessing, and my little Lily and my wife.
I'm thankful for my family, my cat, and everything.
I'm thankful also for my family and the blessings and miracles that we've had in it over the years. And especially that Jennifer and Kaylee and Kelton, that are in our family, are the Christian people, and we all are on the same level with that, and I appreciate that. It's just a miracle. I also am thankful that my pastor's family is doing better with COVID now, and Greg's father-in-law is out of ICU and off of it. And in rehab right now, she's been home with it. We just show us what they're hoping. So we have had a lot of blessings. Thank you.
Many of you may not even realize this, but I'm thankful for some of the most fantastic grandkids that we've ever asked for. We do have a couple. We're pretty low-key about it, so you may not realize that. And Jim and I talk to each other often about how blessed we are. We know people in other countries that are smarter than we are. They're more spiritual than we are. They work harder than we do. But they struggle to eat and struggle to just make it. But why would God put us here to live such a comfortable life? Not because of who we are. I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't know. I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the fellowship that we have within this church.
I am thankful for my family and the crazy mess that I have left in my house after a whole bunch of people were there and that they were able to come and we were able to have that fellowship and for dirty socks and chamomile on my rug and that's mainly Brent. But I am thankful for all those things and those things I get aggravated sometimes at them, but I try to remember, you know what, if I didn't have that, those people wouldn't be here. And I just can't hardly stand that thought. So I'm thankful for the opportunity that my mama was sitting beside me singing in the choir tonight, and that she can still do that. And I'm thankful for God's grace and His mercy to me. And however badly I mess up and when I say things I shouldn't or get mad, or He still extends His grace to me.
Want to say anything, Bo? There you go.
I'm thankful that God's grace is me every day, and I mess up so much, and then He just forgives me and lets me go on and not get real discouraged. I'm just so thankful that I don't have to be perfect, and He still loves me, and I'm so thankful for God. Took care of our daughter.
Well, say anything, Catherine. Okay.
Squanto was the Indian who, when in the spring, when they had the bad winter, the really terrible winter, the children lived there, in the spring, and they were really thinking maybe we ought to just go back to India. You know? And suddenly, Squanto, the Indian, shows up and starts speaking English to them and starts teaching them where to find lobsters and where to find clams and where to, you know, how to plant the corn there and stuff like that, and teaches them how to live on that land, in that land. And then the whole story of how he was kidnapped and taken as a slave and ended up in England and living in England 5 years or so, and learning the language and becoming a Christian and then coming back to that place, thinking that he was coming back to see his kinfolk again, and they'd all been wiped out by the smallpox. And he comes back and buries that place and kills him. And it just reminds me, or it makes me think about, that I'm thankful that God started something in our nation. During these dark times that we're facing, we've got to hope that maybe, just maybe, God's not through with
us. Amen.
I'm thankful for my sweet Jesus. I'm just thankful for His holiness. And He's just such a person that give thanks in remembrance of God's holiness and what I consider Him and His purity, and that God's made me realize how far I've fallen short of Him from His glory and His design that Jesus poured into Himself through His precious blood. I'm so thankful for Him. I'm thankful for the opportunity to teach my Sunday school class, and through the years it's been a wonderful blessing. Every one of the students, it's been a great joy and encouragement to me, and I'm thankful for this church entrusting me with that opportunity. I'm thankful for, there have been 40 children that have passed through my Sunday school class in April. It's the Lord Jesus draws people here, and it's been a privilege to be able to bring gospel, bring them to the gospel, not only in my class, but to know that as soon as they step their foot in the sanctuary, they're going to hear even clearer the message of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thankful for my family as well, and especially my in-laws who raised a daughter that has been my wife for almost 33 years now, and has been a great mother and even a better wife to me. That I wake up every morning and telling her I don't deserve her, and she's been a great partner in life. And anyway, I'm just thankful for her and how God has led us through life, and sometimes we didn't even ask him to do it, but he knew what we needed even before we knew we needed it, and I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for my husband, Caleb. Every morning when I wake up, I just thank the Lord that God brought him into my life, and that his family has become my family, and all of them really get along real well, and I'm just so, so blessed, and also this church family. I'm glad that God brought us here, and we feel like we're going to want to be his family too, so I'm just so thankful for that.
Well, I have a lot to be grateful for, but just recently I had somebody express an interest in coming back here and learning and helping. And we don't know much, but it was unexpected for somebody I didn't expect to come back here and take an interest in it. And they've just shown a willing spirit.
I leave anybody out. Well, I'm glad you got to say what was on your heart. Well, I certainly am thankful for my family and my wife. Such a blessing in my life. You know, folks have a tendency to say something about when they see a couple of old people with little kids. Some of them will say, well, bless your heart. And that's what you say to folks when you think they're a little off their rocker. But I tell folks it's not Lanny, it's Gwen. I come along kicking and screaming, God has it's a God thing. It doesn't have to do with us. It has to do with God and what He has allowed us to do the last couple of years. And even though I've fought it tooth and toenail, I'm still thankful for it. And look back across to some of the lives that God has brought into our home, and we've lived with. And I was thinking about this the other day. The old house that we live in, several of you that are here tonight, some of you that are not, had quite a bit to do with that, helping us tear it down and get it built back on our property. And I thought the other day I was looking at the pictures of the old house. Before we started on it, we've got some pictures hanging up in the living room, and I thought those folks that were helping us on that house thought that they were doing it for us, and they were. They were doing it for us, but they were also doing it for these 30-plus young'uns that the Lord has allowed us to have in our home over the last couple of years. And I couldn't even think about trying to name all of them. I'll tell you, the names that really stand out are those that that was hard to deal with. But you had to do with that, and God, I think that God had a plan, and I don't know, this it may be coming to an end. We don't know, but whatever God decides to do, but anyway, He did have a plan for about 30 of them, and we got to have a part in their life. We had a group of kids, and y'all will remember the Qualls youngins, and one of the teenage girl, Gwen, help me out. I can't even think of her name, but yeah, Katana. Was that the youngest one or the middle one? Anyway, she had a little trouble controlling her feelings and expressing them outward, mostly beating up on her brothers and sisters. But a verse came to my mind in the book of Proverbs that says a person that's unable to control their spirit is like a city without walls. So I had her to read that verse, and then we talked about it, and I said, can you think about what that verse might mean? She said, I guess you're pointing that at me. You're talking about me. And I said, yeah. I said, when you're unable to control yourself, you're like a city without walls. And so we were able to use that, she and I, over the next few months, that when she would go through one of those, I would just say a city without walls. And it would it would change her attitude toward that. I want us to look at a passage here in Acts, the 13th chapter. I don't know whether to go ahead and preach this or not. I wanted to. But I wanted to do the other also. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do is preach point number one and quit. Would you be in favor of that? We're not voting on it, by the way. But take your Bible and turn to Acts, the 13th chapter. And I want to use as a text verse 39. But I want us to go back and read some other verses. So look at Acts 13 and go to verse 39. And we're going to do a little doctrinal study tonight. Maybe mostly next Sunday. But tonight we're going to introduce this doctrinal study of our brother Paul is preaching here. They've come to a place, and I used to think that I'd like to travel back in time, back to when World War II was first over with, and all that went on right after World War II. They came up with some great cars right along in there. Got rid of the flathead and started with overhead valve engine and everything. Just think about it. Well, probably it doesn't excite you like it would me. But as I read through the book of Acts, I think about how exciting it would be to be able to go back to the birth of the church and to hear some of these messages that these guys preached. So now Paul he's persecuting the church when we start in Acts. He's on his way to Damascus and he is converted and he's blind for a certain period of time and then he's prayed for and he gets his sight back and now he's part of the disciples, the apostles, and he's traveling with them in the new church, and now this is a recorded sermon that we have by him. Now this is a guy that knew the Old Testament inside and out. This is a guy that was sharp. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. He is mightily used of the Lord. Matter of fact, when God was talking to Ananias about going and praying for him, he says, "I'm going to reveal to him how he's going to have to suffer for me." What a great way to start your life, huh, as a Christian. But he's preaching the first time here in chapter 13. He's been preaching, and Barnabas has been hearing him and encouraging him and encouraging the other disciples to accept him. And now he is preaching this message that is recorded in Acts 13. And so I want us to take our text from 13:39. Have you found it? Say amen. And let's stand together, and I'm going to read it as you look at it in your own translation. Verse 39. And I want you to underline if you want to. But anyway, pick this word out because that's what we're going to be talking about for a while. Verse 39, and by him, all that believe, he's talking about Jesus' death on the cross, And he says, now he's preaching, man, the Spirit is on him. He is preaching, and by him all that believe are justified. Now that's a doctrinal term. It's a good term. It's a wonderful term. And he says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Be seated, and let's look at the point number one. So here in this sermon, Paul preaches the gospel in a nutshell. Now think about, you're preaching to a group that knows the Old Testament. They've been learning the law and the prophets. They know what the Old Testament says. And so he brings them down through the Old Testament and he preaches to them Jesus and the justification of Christ's death on the cross. So look back up at verse 26, 13:26. And now he's in the very brunt of his message, and he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whoever among you feareth God. There's a term there, whoever fears God. Some of the Old Testament scholars of recent, as they talk about those who are saved in the Old Testament, one of the terms that is brought out is God fears, people who fear God. And we see a number of those in the Old Testament. As we study the Old Testament, we see these that fear God. And among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. God has sent Paul to preach the gospel to these folks, and they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets. They'd studied it, but they didn't know it. See, they weren't listening to the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. Condemning who? Condemning Jesus. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him. You see how he's doing this? You see what he's bringing before the Jews here? And they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. So, in verse 27, Paul says that the religious leaders fulfill Scripture by their rejection of Jesus. When my family gets together for Thanksgiving or Christmas, the younger family, there's usually a singing that takes place. Right? My brother Bob brings the guitar, or Austin, and we sing gospel songs, and then there's usually some other song sung that's not gospel, but we sing gospel songs. And one of the songs that my family chose to sing out of the Heavenly Highway this yesterday was "Oh What a Savior," and I have heard that song and sung that song most of my adult life, as a Christian anyway. I've heard that song a lot. But there's a verse in that song that they sing that I had not noticed before. And that, you may remember this if you know the song. They searched through heaven and found the Savior. And I stopped and said, I don't think that's scriptural. Well, how could that not be scriptural? Well, because they didn't search through heaven and find somebody that would qualify. That plan was before life began. Jesus was preordained to be the Savior of the world before the world, before God spoke the world into existence. And my brother said, he said they was just taking, poetic liberty there. And I said, I'd never noticed that before. Now, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, and I don't want you to stop singing that song because of it. But it's always been in God's plan for a Savior. Never had any other plan other than Jesus. Jesus is not plan B. He is plan A. And He has always been. Lyle never liked for us to sing, "Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land." He said, that's not scriptural. That's not what's going to take place. We're going to have a mansion. And Jesus has gone to prepare. He's building it now. The religious leaders fulfill Scripture by rejecting Jesus, Paul says in verse 27. In verse 28, he says, though he was innocent, they crucified him. So he's preaching the gospel to them, and they're grabbing hold of this. He was without sin. He was the Lamb without spot and without blemish that was chosen before the foundation of the world. Isn't that good? Couldn't be any other way. Couldn't be any other way. He's a perfect Lamb. He was innocent. He was innocent. Unlike you and I, He was innocent, yet without sin, the Bible says. He was totally and absolutely innocent, and yet He was crucified. If I had about another hour, we could get into the leper that Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. That's, man, I love that story. I just love it. And then he says in verse 29, they took him down from the cross and they put him in a grave. So what, if you were going to think about the gospel in a nutshell, you would say the death, the burial, resurrection. Because without the resurrection, see, without Jesus rising from the dead, there's not a gospel. He rose from the dead. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. Old black preacher said that he took the cross and he jabbed a hole through the backside of the grave and death, and he said, come and follow me. And because He rose from the dead, one of these days we'll rise from the dead. I stood at many a graveside in this community and communities around us and said, one of these days the trumpet is going to sound, and these graves are going to open up. Now, I can't wrap my mind around that. And folks are thinking about it, these people, in like they thought about Lazarus. Lord, by now he stinketh. And they're thinking about that, about these folks in the grave. But the Bible says, I'm going to have a new body. And the trumpet's going to sound. The Lord will... The trumpet is going to sound and the Lord will meet us in the air. And those graves of the Christians is going to open up and they're going to be raised incorruptible. They're going to be raised with a new body, and they'll meet that new body will meet their spirit in the air that has been residing with the Lord until He comes back to get us. And the Bible says that we will be raptured up. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that day's coming. Someone said, old Gabriel's licking his lips right now, getting ready to blow that trumpet. And it's coming. And so Paul says that they took him down in verse 29 and they put him in a grave. And then verse 30 says, but God raised him from the dead. That's a major point, Christianity. I was preaching in jail in Newport, Arkansas, and a man said he wanted to become a Christian. He wanted to be saved. And we were getting ready to leave. The jailer had already opened the cell for us to come out. And I said, well, you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin? He said, yes. I said, you believe they buried him in a barred tomb? He said, yes. I said, you believe he rose from the dead? He said, no. I said, what? He said, I can't believe that. I said, until you can believe that, you can't be saved. Friend, that is the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Until you can believe that, you cannot. I'm telling you, He rose from the dead. He rose from the grave. And that's what Paul was saying. And I don't know. It doesn't say what happened after he got through preaching, but he could have said, I mean, he talked to me. I know he rose from the dead. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And then in verse 38, he gives them wonderful news. He says, your sin can be forgiven. Wow. Your sin can be forgiven. I was listening this week to Chuck Swindoll preach from the Psalms. And he talked about the omniscience of our God. And the omnipresence of our God. He's all-knowing and He's all-present. And there's no place that we can go or nothing that we can think that He doesn't already know. Every sin that we have ever committed or even thought about, every evil thought that's ever come into our mind, everything that we've done in secret that we are ashamed of, and if we could go back and change it, we would go back and change it, but we can't. It's still in our past. Everything that's ever happened to us, He knows. Our mama might not know, but He knows. I was working at the service station after school when I was a teenager. We had one of those black dial phones on the wall. Anybody remember them? And everybody in the community come to use it. And it rang, and I answered it, and it was my mama. She's checking on me. I had the hiccups real bad. You ever get them, not be able to get over them? I had the hiccups real bad. And she talked there just a little bit and asked me how I was doing or what was going on or whatever. And I'd usually, they were, my mom and dad was gone by the time I got up of a morning. And I left for school, and then after school I worked. I didn't see them until the weekend. And anyway, she was checking on me, and I had the hiccups real bad. And all at once she said, son, the reason I have called is that I sure do not like what people have been saying about you. And boy, I mean, my heart went right square up in my throat, and I said, "Who and what? What in the world are you talking about?" And she said, "Have you still got the hiccups?" Well, my mama might not have known every mean trick that I'd got into, but my God knew everything. But I want to tell you something, folks. He loves me anyway, and he loves you anyway. His character is love. The Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love." He is love, and he loves us, and his love is unconditional. It is unconditional, and so his forgiveness is unconditional forgiveness. It is not based upon our actions or our ability. It is based upon His character and His holiness and not our own. And so Paul is saying in verse 38, your sins can be forgiven. My sin. Oh, that miserable state, the songwriter said, are wiped away. And we'll talk about that. Though they be as red as scarlet, they'll be white as wool. And then in verse 39, he says, and you can be justified. And we're going to talk about this doctrine next Sunday a little deeper. We're going to talk about five principles of justification, what it takes. Be justified. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll let you go. Why don't we stand together?